this podcast, I'm going to go over the final 2 years of physics syllabus in New South Wales. Now, I began, as Pat Pittle explains, reading the syllabus end to end, and I came across some repeated sections, a lot of repeated sections, things about working scientifically, areas of focus and stuff like that, which really diffuses the actual hard to understand things. So basically, as a teacher, first off, you really have to say, well, what are the fundamental things, the fundamental knowledge that I'm transferring? So I'm going to focus here, break the rule here, and just focus on rereading Year 11, but on the actual focus of what the content has to be taught and how it's going to be taught. So rather than, I may skip through it, so I'm just going to not read it word for word, but go through module one. So there are four modules a year, and first module one is kinematics. And now kinematics is just the motion of objects. How do you mathematically describe the motion? Given that they are doing something, how do you describe it? That is, what is it doing? What will happen? Now, in the outcomes, there are five doing outcomes. The content outcome, which is the last one here, is PH 11-8, which is physics year 11, the eighth outcome. Describes and analyzes motion in terms of scalar and vector quantities in two dimensions, and makes qualitative measurements of calculations for distance, quantitative measurements of calculations for distance, displacement, speed and velocity, and acceleration. Okay, going straight on to the content. So, focusing what the, moving away from the content focus, they have working scientifically. The content is taught in, I think, a series of three inquiry questions which break it down. And the first inquiry question is, how is motion of an object moving in a straight line described and predicted? And they and I'm going to leave sections out. Oh yes, no, I won't. Describe uniform straight line, in brackets, rectilinear motion, and uniformly acceleration motion through qualitative descriptions, use of scalar and vector quantities. Then conduct practical analysis of instantaneous and average velocity. Okay, through first-hand and graphical analysis. So, instantaneous actually, by its nature, is use of calculus, because an instant in time is a infinitesimal time before and after. It's a differential time. So it's the fundamental aspect of it. To get a velocity, you have to teach that. Okay, you have to calculate the relative velocity of objects moving along the same line using vector analysis. So if they're moving along the same line, it's not in two dimension. So, yes, okay. Right, okay, that's really difficult because of scalar. Conduct practical investigations, selecting a range of technologies to record and analyze the motion of a variety of situations. They have to measure time, distance, displacement, speed, velocity, acceleration. So the following things are scalars. These are numbers, tensors of zero rank. Tensors of single rank is vectors. Sorry for mentioning about that. And you get way up to the three rank, four dimensional tensors of general relativity, and two rank vectors for electrodynamics. But so this is the entree. So things which have just a value. So around here, just the first way to get tensors is pressure is a tensor, temperature, so they're all temperature, is a scalar. So we're going to have scalar is rank zero. It's a single number. Pressure is a single number. Now, temperature and pressure is an example of a scalar field. That is, there has a value in every point in x, y, z space. This is beyond the field, we're removing the field concept of it to actually a particle. So that particular particle has a point, and then that moves, that point continues to move about the place. So time, distance, and speed are numbers, single numbers, which we get off as a single reading, whereas distance, speed, sorry, distance, correction, displacement, velocity, and acceleration are vectors. And they're units. The other important thing is to the use of units. And I suppose another important thing, which perhaps is not up here in the school thing, is that the modern, so this is from 2010 beyond NIST, and the science community has moved on to putting a midpoint, called a midpoint, between meters and seconds to the next one. So meters, little midpoint, seconds to the next one, to differentiate it from milliseconds to the negative one. Okay, so that's an important thing, the use of fossil technology. So this is an example of the actual syllabus core not negotiating with modern science. Use mathematical modeling of graphs selected from a range of technologies to analyze and derive relationships between time, distance, displacement, speed, velocity, and acceleration in rectilinear motion, including, and these are the following things, this is the SUVAT ones, and this is really from the 1960s, S equals U plus a half AT squared, V equals U plus AT, and V squared equals U squared plus AS. So you don't have to, or you have to derive the relationship. So you have to derive those things.
There's a whole heap of series of problems with SUVAT, which has been, is a bit of a behind the times thing. So U is the initial velocity, and V is the final velocity. We would now say final velocity, initial velocity, we wouldn't say U, V. So we'd have V, we'd use subscripts in there. And the derivation of all these formulas, I'll have to look at how you derive the various ones. U equals V plus AT comes from the definition of what A is. A is dV dt. And so the T in that case is actually a delta T. And then V squared equals U squared plus 2AS is actually a derivation from F equals MA, and you multiply both sides by D. If it's MA, and you get it through there. Again, the requirement is that you teach SUVAT, and you don't teach the modern nomenclature. Okay, the next inquiry question. So the first inquiry question was motion in a straight line. Now it's motion in a plane. Here's the inquiry question. I must admit, this is not a gripping inquiry question. How is the motion of an object that changes its direction or movement on a plane described? Okay, so they've actually put motion of the plane into inquiry question. Students, analyze vectors in one and two dimensions. Dissolve vector into two perpendicular components. Add two perpendicular vector components to obtain a single vector. It's the reverse. Represent the distance and displacement of objects moving on a horizontal plane using vector addition and resolution of component vectors. Okay. Describe and analyze algebraically, graphically, with vector diagrams the way which motion of objects changes, including velocity and displacement. Okay. Describe and analyze using vector analysis the relative positions and motions of one object relative to another. So that's vector subtraction. So you've got the actual
the velocity of object one or the displacement of object one to actually change coordinates such that that object is at an origin where your I am is my frame is an origin. You subtract your distance, my position from every my displacement from everything in the actual universe. Or if I want my, even though I may be traveling at 100 miles an hour in a car, my I'm stationary, I subtract that 100 mile an hour, 100 kilometer an hour vector from everything in the universe. Analyze the relative motion of objects in two dimensions, a variety of situation, a boat flowing in a river, two moving cars, an aeroplane with a crosswind relative to the ground. Okay, so that's vectors there. Oh. Okay, there's only two focus questions. We're on to module two. So this is in four terms. That's one term's work, eight weeks' work. That's 30 hours less 15 over the two for a project. Okay, dynamics, reading the fourth one, which is the outcome, pH 11-9, meaning that's the ninth module, ninth outcome, content outcome. It's really confused because the you can actually track it back to confused mathematics of how they did outcomes many, many years ago, and they haven't broken free. Describes and explains events in terms of Newton's law of motion, the law of conservation of momentum, and the law of conservation of energy. Well, that's only in elastic collisions. Just off the top of my head, I go to make it simple, N1, N2, N3. N1 for F equals 0, A equals 0. So something in at rest will remain at rest. Something traveling in velocity as a constant line, straight line, will continue traveling in straight line. N2, the sum of forces equals the mass times the acceleration on a body. Sum of forces on a body. So this is a single body one. N3, which is for a dynamic system, we've got to have two bodies. That is, for every force, there's an equal and opposite force, or F12 equals minus F21. The derivations of that is, you have a series of derivations where you multiply N2 by, by time, and you can also, to get change in momentum, Ft equals MAT. AT is V1 minus V2, the two T's cancel across, or FD, which is the energy, equals MAD, the A is V1 minus V2 on T. The distance is the average velocity is V1 plus V2 minus V1 on 2 times T. It gives you the kinetic energy. That's very simple to get through there. Okay, going through this content focus, which restates this, but the inquiry questions, forces. How are forces produced between objects, and what do forces produce? Students using Newton's law of motion describes static and dynamic interaction between two or more objects and changes and the changes that result from a contact force and a force mediated by fields. Okay, so that's very old teaching. I've had to learn to accept. I had never come across contact and field forces. And this is an old idea, which again is from the 60s and taught through. So essentially, if I'm looking at a diagram, I can say there are forces there. Either you could be told there, or you can see they're touching, or there's a string, or there's a magnet, or a gravitational field. explore the concept of net force and the equilibrium in one dimension and simple two-dimensional contexts, such as algebraic addition, vector addition, vector addition by resolution into components. Okay, so the net force on a object is as a body diagram, and you translate that into a vector diagram. So there's a system of doing that. Next point: solve problems or make quantitative predictions about resultant component forces by applying the following relationships. FAB equals minus FBA. So they're two separate forces, FA and B and FB and A, and in terms of the direction, they're opposing. And then FX equals cos theta, and FY equals F sine theta. Again, you don't derive, you apply those relationships. Conduct practical explanations to explain and predict motion of objects of inclined planes. So that's a really interesting one. I liked inclined planes. That was out of the syllabus before. The next one is the second inquiry question, is how can the motion of objects be explained and analysed? Apply Newton's first two laws of motion to a variety of everyday situations, including both static and dynamic examples, include a role played by friction, and I've had a objection to the actual way they've written this. Direction of friction equals mu, normal force. Now, I suppose one of the things is that if you've got a reserve letter, like N, it's actually poor stuff to put F subscript N. F friction I will allow. And also, if it's a vector equation with a vector shown, that's okay. If it's on a diagram, you can show it. But if you actually put it in text, that there's now a vector equation, which is now incorrect. Okay. Force and relate motion to the object of Newton's second law of motion through the use of qualitative descriptions, graphs and vectors derived from relationships and graphical representation. F net equals MA. Again, I object to saying F subscript net. You should have a sum there. The subscript is... Oh, yeah, look, that's bad. And relationships for uniformly accelerated motion. Apply special case conservation of mechanical energy to quantitative analysis of motion, including work done, the change of kinetic energy of an object undergoing accelerated rectilinear motion. Work is F parallel to S equals F S cos theta. So, so if something's moving, it's the work in that direction. We're done. Conduct investigations, the work done, so you may do work, but the actual work into the object is there. So, okay. Yep, so if something's frictionless and you push on it, it's okay. Conduct investigations over a range of mechanical processes to analyze qualitatively and quantitatively the concept of average power. P equals delta E on delta T, P equals V parallel to velocity equals V cos theta, including but not limited to uniformly accelerated rectilinear motion, objects raised against the force of gravity, work done against air resistance, rolling resistance and friction. Okay. Again, that's a bit of a complex way to get into it. So, is there another focus question? Yes, there's a third focus question in this module. Inquiry questions. How is the motion of objects in a simple system dependent on the interaction between the objects? Conduct an investigation to describe and analyze one-dimensional and two-dimensional interaction of objects in a simple closed system. Well, that's Newton's third law, basically. It's a closed system, third law. Analyze quantitatively predict the law of conservation of momentum, that mv before equals the sum of mv after. Well, we really need a subscript I there for the sum of it. And the appropriate conservation of kinetic energy. Sum of the kinetic energy before equals the sum of kinetic energy after for elastic collisions. Okay, it's a very simple version of it. Investigate the relationship and analyze the information obtained from gradual representation as a function of time. Evaluate the effects of forces involved in collisions and other interactions. Quantitatively look at delta P equals F net delta T. Okay, that's strange. Okay, so they've got the delta P momentum equals F net delta T. So they have to define, you have to define what momentum is. Analyze and compare the momentum and kinetic energy of elastic and inelastic collisions. So don't get into it too much, but start to look at it. So momentum's always conserved. Kinetic energy may or may not be conserved. It's quite interesting to do. I can remember doing the formulas for it. Okay, module 3, which is now in the third term, the modules per term, waves and thermodynamics. Outcomes, going for the content outcome, P11-10. So you would think they might do 11-3, but let's go. Explains and analyzes waves and the transfer of energy by sound, light, or thermodynamic principles. Okay. Working scientifically, there's a lot of story in here, but let's get across to the inquiry question. What are the properties of waves and wave motions? Rather than waves and wave motion, properties of waves and wave motion, what wave properties, they've converted that to a question. Conduct, this is what you have to do, conduct a practical investigation involving creation of mechanical waves in a variety of situations in order to explain the role of a medium in the propagation of a mechanical wave. So a medium is what you call something which propagates a mechanical wave, and you model it by an array of masses and springs. Transfer of energy involved with the propagation of mechanical waves. Conduct practical investigation to analyze the differences between transverse and longitudinal waves, mechanical and electromagnetic waves. Okay, so that might be speed of sound with light, differences between. Okay, that one's with a spring. I've got a spring launch technique. I might do a YouTube video of it. Conduct and interpret graphs the displacements, function of time as the function of position of transverse to longitudinal waves, and relate the features of those graphs to the following: velocity, frequency, period, wavelengths, displacement, and amplitude. The important thing is that you have to say amplitude is the motion of the particle above the equilibrium position, so you have to find what the equilibrium position is. Solve problems and make predictions of modeling of the following relationships: V equals F lambda and F equals 1 on the period. Okay, moving along here because we want to get through this. Inquiry questions: how do waves behave? Students, so one was define a wave, two is start to look at wave description. Explain waves in terms of reflection, refraction, diffraction, and wave superposition. Okay, so this is the fundamental things that you do for a wave. Conduct an investigation to distinguish between progressive and standing waves. Conduct an investigation to explore resonance and mechanical systems with the relationship between driving frequency, natural frequency of the oscillating system. So if you drive it as natural frequency, it's going to hit a resonant frequency. Amplitude of the motion will go very large. Transformation of energy within a system. So that's actually quite interesting. That's shock absorbers and all that type of stuff. Okay, so we now have a third inquiry question. Sound waves. What evidence suggests sound wave is a mechanical wave? Okay, that's what we have to do. Ask the question. Conduct a practical investigation to relate the pitch and loudness of a sound wave to its characteristics. Model the behavior of sound wave in air as longitudinal wave. So that's in and out wave. Relate the displacement of air molecules to vibrations of pressure. Investigate quantitatively the relationship between distance and intensity of sound. Conduct investigation to analyze reflection, diffraction, resonance, and superposition of sound waves. Okay, the only thing I would say is resonance is actually a property of a sound production thing, like a Helmholtz thing. Okay, investigate the model behavior of standing waves on strings and or pipes to relate quantitatively to the fundamental harmonic frequency of the wave and that are produced to the physical characteristics. Okay, that's hard to read. Analyze quantitatively and qualitatively the relationship between the wave nature of sound to explain F beat is, if you've got two things, this is the we've got the two sound boxes with the tuning forks, and you've hit one tuning forks. This is where I would like to make oscillators, and the Doppler effect, that the new frequency is the given by the formula F into F, the frequency of the wave plus the frequency of the observer minus the frequency of the wave on the frequency, or so velocity of the wave plus the velocity of the observer divided by the velocity of the wave producer, the wave, or the wave source. So the velocity of the wave plus the velocity of the observer. I'll have to really look at that formula. I think that formula may be wrong as far as I can see. It has here the velocity of the received wave, so the frequency of the received wave equals the frequency times the velocity of the wave plus the velocity of the observer minus the velocity of the wave minus the velocity of the source. That sort of makes sense. I'll have to have a look at that. Let's move on. I'll have a go back and look at that wave equation. Ray model of light. Our fourth inquiry question. What properties have demonstrated when using a ray model of light? Conduct a practical, so this is where light travels not in a wavefront but a ray. Okay. Conduct the practical investigations with mirrors, lenses via reflection and refraction and using the ray model of light. Conduct investigations, examine quantitatively and qualitatively the refraction and total internal refraction of light. So this is your prism blocks and the NI, just again, rehab, I cannot remember the formula for total internal reflection. Now I can't, it's off the top of my head, I can't remember it. Predict qualitatively using Snell's law the refraction and total internal reflection of light in various situations. So again, I can sort of picture it in terms of angles. So the thing at the lower refractive index is sin R and sin R, or I can just draw it in my head graphically. So when it goes into a lighter medium, it reflects away. So the ratio of the sine in the lighter medium to the denser medium is the reverse of the refractive index, or the refractive index is the reverse of the velocity of the light. So if it's the velocity refractive index of 3, it's got a speed of light of a third. A speed of light of a third there, and then if it's coming in, the actual distance going from lighter medium to deeper medium, the actual distance from the normal of the surface is a third smaller. It's pretty easy to get out. Conduct an investigation to demonstrate the relationship between the inverse law, square law, and the intensity of light and the transfer of energy. So we do that. I'd do that with an overhead projector. It's a really nice thing in a light meter. Solve problems to make quantitative predictions in a variety of situations by applying the following relationships to Nx equals C on Vx, okay, refractive index of medium X, Snell's law, So that's, again, the ratio that I saw in my head. Oh, yes, the critical angle is that the sine is one of those ones. And this is my much preferred, thank goodness they've got it, is I1 R1 squared equals I2 R2 squared. The much better way to do the inverse square law. It just gets kids confused doing any other way. Yep, we've got a fifth inquiry question. So this is a pretty dense unit. How are temperatures and thermal energy of particle models related? Students explain the relationship between temperature of an object and the kinetic of the particles within it. Kinetic energy within the particles within it. Well, that's true for a gas, but a solid, the kinetic energy is, because it's a spring oscillation, is half between the kinetic and potential energy. So this is something that they've missed out, a very common mistake. So the kinetic energy, the kinetic vibrational energy is one thing. The vibrational energy is half stored and half kinetic, if you put it in. Explain the concept of thermal equilibrium. Well, I wish they could. Amazing if they can, the concept of it. Analyze the relationship between the change in temperature of an object and its specific heat capacity through the equation of Q equals mcat. Q is heat in joules, M is M, C is a formula which converts everything in the right-hand side to joules, and delta T is the change in temperature. Investigate energy transfer through the process of conduction, convection, and radiation. Okay, conduct an investigation to analyze quantitatively and qualitatively latent heat involved in a change of state. So I haven't heard latent heat for a long while. Change of state, in general, there's a miscomprehension that the state is a solid and a liquid, whereas it's a glass and a crystal, which is the important thing. Model and predict quantitatively the energy transfer from hot objects by a process of thermal conductivity. It'd be interesting if they did that for the sun or something like that. Apply the following relationships and solve problems to make quantitative predictions in a variety of situations. Q equals mcat, you'll see a specific heat, thank you very much. Q on T, rate of heat, of flow of heat, equals K, the thermal conductivity, times the area cross-section, times the change in temperature differential, divided by distance, where K is the thermal conductivity of the material. Thank you for that. Okay, that's 32 minutes just to read the content. Mate, module 4, which is term 4. Electricity and magnetism explains quantitatively analyzes electric fields, circuitry, and magnetism. Okay, this is really reminds me of a year 10 course. Or maybe I've done. Content, electrostatics questions. How do charged objects interact with other charged objects and with neutral objects? Okay, neutral objects, it polarizes it. Charged objects, they either attract or repel. Conduct investigations to describe and analyze qualitatively and quantitatively the process by which objects become electrically charged. That's friction or attachment, transfer of charge. The forces produced by other objects as a result of the interaction of charged objects. Variables that affect electrostatic force between those objects. Okay. Using electric field lines, representation, model qualitatively the direction and strength of a simple point charge, pairs of charges, dipoles, and parallel charge plates. Okay, that's something to do from the old course. Yeah, it's really interesting to know the original history of Faraday, who invented charged field lines. Apply electric field model to account qualitatively and quantitatively for the interaction between charged objects. F equals QE, the charges. E, electric field, equals V on D. F equals 1 on 4 pi, the permissivity of its free space. Q1, Q2 on R squared, the inverse square law. They're very simple formula. So one's a constant electric field, The other one has no electric field. It's just telling you what the forces are. Analyze the... So the electric fields in this are only uniform electric fields. So if... Analyze the effects of a moving charge and electric field in order to relate potential energy work in equal potential lines by applying V equals change in energy per Q. So this is to do about the potential difference. Electric circuits. How do the processes of the transfer of information of energy occur in electric circuits? Investigate the flow of electric currents in metal and apply models to represent current, including I equals Q on T. I bet they've got the degree model there. Investigate qualitatively the current voltage relationship in ohmic and non-ohmic resistors to explore the usefulness of the limitations of Ohm's law using W equals QV. Q is the voltage. V equals IR. Oh, look, I bet they believe that Ohm's law, from that, there's no limitations in a non-ohmic resistor of using V equals IR, but if you... I don't... Looks just so confused. Investigate quantitatively and analyze the rate of conversion of electrical energy in components of electric circuits, including production of heat and light, by applying P equals VI and E equals PT. The variation involve and variations that involve Ohm's law. Okay. Investigate. I think there's deep confusion in there. Investigate qualitatively and quantitatively a series of parallel. Series in parallel circuits and relate the flow of current through individual components, potential difference across the components, and the rate of energy conversion by components, and laws of conservation of energy, charge, and energy. Deriving the following relationships: sigma I in a circle, conservation of charge is zero, conservation of voltage, sigma V is zero. R series is R1 plus R2. R parallel is 1 on R1 plus 1 on R2. Now, let's have a look at Kirchhoff's current law. V is strict current law. You do have a current source. I have to see whether that's correct. Bear in mind, this is cardiac rehab, and I'm just going through. Investigate qualitatively the application of the law of conservation of energy to the heating effects of electric currents, including the application of PVI and variations involving Ohm's law. That is concerning to read that. And finally, in this one, another, inquiry question. How do magnetized and magnetic objects interact? Investigate and describe qualitatively the force produced between magnetized and magnetic materials in the context of ferromagnetic materials. Wow. Use magnetic field lines to model qualitatively the direction and strength of magnetic fields produced by magnets, current-carrying wires, solenoids, and relate these to fields effects produced by magnets. Conduct investigations to describe qualitatively, quantitatively, the magnetic fields produced by wires and solenoids, including B equals mu naught I on pi R. So this is from a wire, and B equals NI on L. So I think that might be the length of wire. No, I just have to work out what that means. B equals mu York, NI on L. I don't understand. I'll have to look at that formula. Investigate and explain the process by which ferromagnetic materials become magnetized. So the domains. Apply models to represent qualitatively and quantitatively the features of magnetic fields. So NI on L, that will be interesting. I have to look at that. And that ends year 12 at 40 minutes. So that's about 10 minutes a term. Thanks a lot. And I'll go through. That's giving me some things to investigate, one or two things to investigate. Thanks a lot for listening. It looks appears that there are some still some embedded errors, like understanding what resistance actually is, or some things to do with optics and stuff like that. And also the notation that's for Newton's law, the using of the older style notation. You won't win. You'll have to teach it this way. There's just no way that they can listen to anybody and get it done. Thanks a lot for listening. Next podcast will be Physics Year 12 course. Bye for now. Hope it's been worthwhile.